risky business. And so this morning I want to look at Eve and to see what it was like for her. Okay. Now, there are some things that Eve did not know. Okay. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Genesis chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. The man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This is at last bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Okay. Notice here what God asked Adam to do. Okay, he had two jobs. One was to take care of the garden. The other was to name all the animals. Okay, and so as the animals came before him, he would give them names. Cows, donkeys, elephants, zebras, all of this. Now, where he came up with all these names, I don't know. I think when he got to the name platypus, he just started putting letters together. Okay? But he named all these animals. And part of this naming was to find a partner for him. Okay, so as all these animals kept through, Adam kept looking for someone who could be his partner. Well, the elephant came by, and he's like, "No, that won't work." The snake came by, and he's like, a grizzly bear, a black bear, maybe, but no. So all these animals came by Adam, and he could not find someone suitable for him. Okay. And so God did the first surgery. And he put Adam to sleep, and he took a rib out of Adam. And out of that rib, God formed Eve. Okay? We see here the rib the Lord God had taken out, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. So he took the rib out, breathed life into it, the life of another human being, and Eve appeared. And so when Adam woke up from his anesthetic, he went and saw Eve and was like, "Oh, okay." That was probably the best sight he'd seen yet. Okay? And he sees Eve. Okay? And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now, the first thing I want us to notice here is this term woman. If you look at that term woman in the original Hebrew, it means a mature lady. Okay, a mature woman. So what did Eve miss out on? Eve never had a childhood. Eve never went through puberty. Eve never went through adolescence. I won't say that. Okay? Eve missed out on all of that. Okay? Which is something I don't think we've ever really thought about. Okay? She was born a mature lady because she's married to Adam, and you can see what happens next. Okay, she was not born as a six-year-old. She wasn't born as an infant. Okay? So, we know what happens next, right? They're in the garden, and they're walking in the cool of the day, and all of a sudden they get a visitor, right? And the serpent appears. And when the serpent appears, he talks to Eve. And to Adam. Adam is right there beside. Okay? And the serpent starts putting doubt in Eve's mind. Did God say you should really not eat of these trees? Today, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, don't eat of that tree. The devil says through the snake. Did God really say that? Well, Eve says, well, he said we shouldn't eat of it and we shouldn't touch it. Well, God never said touch. And so the serpent here is very, very crafty and finally says, you should eat of it. And Eve looks at the tree, sees it's desirable, it looks good, it's going to make me wiser, why shouldn't I? Okay. And so what does she do? She takes of the tree and eats. Where's Adam in this whole situation? Standing right beside her, because Scripture says, she took of the fruit and gave also to her husband who was right next to her. And they both realized they were naked and ashamed. Okay? Eve gets blamed for eating the fruit first. I think Adam should get the blame first. Okay? And Jesus talks about the first Adam and the second. Adam's right there and didn't stop her. He heard what the snake said. Didn't stop the snake. Didn't keep his wife from eating the fruit. So I think Adam is actually more culpable than Eve, but they're both sinned in this. Okay? So then they hide from the Lord, and God says, "Where are you?" They say, "Well, we realized we were naked and we hid from you." Who told you that? Okay? And it goes back to the snake. And then God curses the snake or Satan. But he also has to give punishment for sin. So he tells Eve, you're going to have pain in childbearing. Okay, to Adam, the soil will not produce what you want it to produce. Okay, and then he has to kick them out or make them leave, exile them from the Garden of Eden. Okay, but look at chapter 3, verse 20. Up until this point, Eve does not have a name. She's just called the woman. Okay. But in chapter 3, verse 20, it says, the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all the living. Okay. Everyone who has ever lived is a descendant of Eve. Okay. Now, think here about what Eve gets to experience now. Okay. She didn't have a childhood, she didn't have adolescence. In chapter 4, verse 1, we see this. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. What would that have been like for Eve, the first childbirth? Like, she finds out, they didn't have what to expect when you're expecting back then, which is kind of the book for all expecting moms. So nobody's explaining pregnancy to her. I don't know if the Lord and Eve had a talk here or not, but I don't sense that, okay? And so all of a sudden she's like, I don't feel so good. And then she goes, I'm getting fat. And then she starts feeling things. And all of a sudden she gets a kick. She's like, what the? Adam? Well, it wasn't Adam. And then from the inside, and this freaked me out when I saw it, when Drew put his hand from the inside, I'm like, oh, you got an alien inside of you. I mean, what are they thinking here? There's never been a pregnancy on earth. Eve is the first. And then contractions start. She's like, I'm dying. And then goes through the whole process, and all of a sudden this little man comes out. She's like, oh, what do we do with you? Because nobody ever raised her. So what do you do with this little 6-pound man? Adam's got to go, I have no clue. Which most of us guys still have no clue when the kids come. That's okay. But, you know, what do we do with this little child? We got to care for it. Well, it's crying. What do we do? How many of you, when you had your first child, do you remember when it got sick the first time? Okay. How many of you were like worried sick when your first child was sick? Oh, yeah. I mean, all new parents, we freak out at this. Okay. But the third one, we're like, he'll be fine. But the first one, we're running to the doctor, and the doctor says, it's okay. He's just got a cold. Okay. But it's a major thing because our little one has trouble breathing. Okay. With all the congestion. Adam and Eve didn't have that. Eve did not have any books, any resources to say, this is how we do it. Well, you try to talk with your child, right? That's how you get information. Infants don't talk, so how does Eve know? Okay. And then they grow up, and you're trying to train them. Well, what do you train them in? How do you help them? Nobody is helping her. Okay. And the craziest thing that I wonder about is this. How many years did Adam live? Anybody know? Here's your trivia question. 930 years old. Okay? Does that mean that Cain had a 100-year childhood? That mean he had a 60-year puberty? Or an 80-year adolescence? I don't know. I don't know if the normal lifespan was just extended, or if he became a full-fledged adult when he's 21 or 25 and then stayed the same for 905 years. I don't know. Okay, but it must have been a very challenging thing for Eve and Adam to raise these boys. Okay, so Cain is born. And then she says, and again, she bore his brother Abel. So now they have two boys, okay? And there's sibling rivalry between the two. Does Eve understand sibling rivalry? Why? She didn't have any siblings. So now my kids are fighting. What do I do here? Okay? What I want us to realize here is that for moms, raising children has always been hard, all the way back to Eve. Like, what do we do? How do we get this? How do we figure this out? Okay? But then it gets rough here. Abel was a keeper of the sheep and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought some of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. So you have sibling rivalry. It boils over when they give sacrifices to the Lord. Abel gives of his flock. Cain gives of his vegetables and the things he's grown. Both of those sacrifices are talked about in Leviticus. I don't think it was about the nature of the sacrifice, about the items that were sacrificed. I think it was about the inner attitude, the inner heart. Okay. Abel gave gladly. Cain apparently gave begrudgingly. And God called him out on it. He said, "Cain, look, your attitude is not in the right place here. Sin is crouching at the door, okay? It's like a tiger getting ready to leap. You can master it yet. You haven't sinned. You've been tempted. You can decide not to. But if you don't decide to fight it, it will get you." And what does Cain decide? Just going to let it go. I'm going to let my temptation run its course. And so Cain meets Abel out in the field, kills him. Okay. Think about this for Eve. She's lost a son. I think for a parent, that's the hardest thing to go through, is losing a child. Okay. Psychologists will rank it on the top of all the scales of what creates anxiety. Okay. There is nothing, very few things that are worse than losing a child. Okay. So Abel is killed, and then what happens to Cain? God speaks to him and says, "Cain, you are banished. You're exiled. You need to leave." And Cain's like, "Well, everybody's going to murder me." "No, I'll put a mark on you so that nobody will kill you. But you cannot stay here." What's that mean for Adam and Eve? Not only have they lost a son in death, but they've also lost a son by the consequence of his choices. Okay. These things are still very much realities to some moms and dads for that sake. Okay. So, then we get to chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. This is after Cain has left. And it says, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, 'God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel.' For Cain killed him. To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. And from that time, the people began to call on the name of the Lord. Okay. Up to this point, I think Adam and Eve's life has been marked by a lot of tragedy, difficulty. Okay, and it's true that raising kids is a risky business. There are great joys, lots of joys. There are also very hard times. But the one thing that I believe remains for all is hope. Look at this. When Seth was born, okay, he had a son, Enosh. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. Why? The text seems to hint that it was something about Seth and Enosh. Okay? That they turned away from their sin, from sin, and followed the Lord. It was at that time that the worship of the Lord began to be public, began to be communal. Okay? There's hope here. Okay? Tremendous hope. And you know that's a great thing about life and raising kids. There is always hope. For children who love the Lord and who follow the Lord, seeing them grow out and blossom is a wonderful thing. Many of us have had children who have graduated, they've started off on their own, they love the Lord, they're in a good start. That's great. Okay? That's a great blessing. Some others have had children who love or who came to church but who fell away and who want nothing to do with the Lord, but they turn back at a later time. God's grace. Okay? There's hope. For those who have turned away from the Lord, we don't know. They may turn back yet. So what do? We pray a lot in hope that God will bring them back to Him. Okay? Gina's son is a great example of this. Now there are some who turn away and who never come back. And that's one of the great tragedies of life and eternity. Okay? And we don't know when our children are born, what are they going to be? Okay? You know, you pray, you trust they will come to believe in the Lord, but we don't know for sure. We can't force them, right? You can't force your child to accept Christ. You will be a Christian. That doesn't generally work very well. Okay? We set an environment. We have conversations. We go to church. We family devotions, other things. We set an environment, but we cannot make them choose. Okay? But we raise our kids and we go through motherhood and fatherhood believing in a God who is a God of hope, a God who redeems, a God who brings back. Okay? And that's the great motivator. Okay? To see our children love the Lord and follow them in their own way, not because that's what mom and dad believe, but because that is what they believe. And so I look at Adam and Eve and look at this in chapter 5. It says, the days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. We're only told about 3. Okay, but he had many others. Well, his wife had them, okay? But this is a big family. And it's difficult to raise kids. It's difficult to be a mom, okay? But there's always hope, okay? And you hold on to that, and you hold on to the great things, the great memories, okay? We set Drew free when he go to college, but he's really free now. Do whatever he wants. He's got a wife. And it's like, okay, I hope you married the right person. I hope that you love the Lord together. So far, they're doing great. But it's like, okay, I don't control you anymore. If you want advice, you're going to have to ask. Okay? And we just keep praying and praying that they will love the Lord. And so my encouragement to you this morning is to keep praying. And to keep living and showing faithful examples. Motherhood, mothers, you are amazing people. My goodness. My wife's gone today. Life stinks. Okay? And she does so much around the house. if we could calculate monetarily how much a wife earns in a week, she'd blow our salary out of the water. Okay? With all that she is and with all that she does. Celebrate moms. Moms, I hope you have a great day. I hope you do not do the dishes. Okay? This should be a dish-free day for moms. It might be a cooking-free day unless the husband can't cook. Then health issues might come into play. But, okay? Celebrate mom. Enjoy it. My task this afternoon, clean the house. Because it will do my wife so much joy to come home to a clean house. Okay? So whatever you're doing today, moms, I hope you get a chance to celebrate. Lord, thank you for this morning, for this little just very overview of Eve and Adam. Lord, so much they didn't know, but Lord, you used their descendants. And Lord, there's a stream of them, Lord, that loved you. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for the example of Seth and for his son and how people called on the name of the Lord with him. And so, Lord, may today be a wonderful day for moms, that they can celebrate, they can rest, they can relax, and enjoy perhaps a day off from in honor of all that they do the rest of the year. So, Lord, we thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
All right, will you stand with me as we close our time of worship?
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Please stick around. As tradition, we have chocolates for you. So these are chocolates you do not share with your children. So, Lord, thank you for our time together this morning. We pray that it has been honoring to you. Lord, you created us men and women. And Lord, you did that for a